This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
To the Dan Le Batard Show, Shea Cornett and Jordan Cornett filling in on a Giving Tuesday. We're happy to be here. In case you don't know who we are, we host Game Day on ESPN Radio on the weekends.
Tell them what time.
1 to 5 Eastern. You normally tell them what time.
1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time. Rock with us. Pull up.
Yes.
Pull up.
We are married. We live together. And so we watch a lot of sports in our house together. And sometimes we're in two different rooms watching two different sports.
We watched sports together last night as the Seahawks got the win, but did not cover. A backdoor from the Eagles in heartbreaking fashion. There's a lot of people angry today.
My husband being one of them. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Today on ESPN Daily Podcast, NBA training camps begin, and Rachel Nichols brings her insights about what the league looks like outside the bubble. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Today, as we mentioned, also Giving Tuesday. If you're able, we hope that you'll join us in Giving Tuesday today to support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Go to v.org/donate to give what you can. I love Jimmy V's quote, don't give up, don't ever give up. And I think this year, more than ever, that is true.
We all got to have a little bit of that in us, right?
Yeah.
A lot of that prophetic from Jimmy V in terms of how you should live your life. I mean, think about it, Shay. That speech was given 27 years ago, and it still resonates to this point because it speaks to the man he was. And when you think about the fight, you think about the courage, and you think about what comes with cancer, what a brilliant job this foundation on the back of a legend and an icon in Jimmy V, The work they've done is absolutely magnificent.
It really is. And cancer is one of those things that touches all of us. It's touched us very closely. And if you were listening earlier, you saw us have a moment. I think we've composed ourselves now. And we're going to switch gears just a little. We are going to talk about sports. As we mentioned, we stayed up late watching the Seahawks battle the Philadelphia Eagles. Fortunate for Eagles fans. There were no fans in the stands. It's good for them.
You say that every week for the Eagles fans.
That's accurate. I say it every week. It's only been 3 weeks I haven't said it.
To me, wasn't this Eagles game pretty much about what you've seen with the Eagles all season long? Questionable play calling, head-scratching approach and scheme offensively in this one where you saw Carson Wentz drop back 45 times with an offensive line that is ravaged with injury and wholly incapable of doing their job.
You're like at a loss for words. You're like, I have no words to describe this offensive line.
Well, to me, it's just confusing. Like, you've got Miles Sanders in the backfield, and yes, I know the offensive line isn't what it is, obviously, but you're going to drop back 45 times, have Carson Wentz throw the football. His inaccuracies on full display, an offensive line that struggles to protect him. Carson Wentz is dropping back and is not seeing the field because he's fearful of the next hit that's coming. Why not establish or attempt to establish a little bit more of a run game? Miles Sanders gets, what, 6 carries in this game?
Six carries for 15.
Going for it when it's an 11-point game there on the fourth quarter and Carson Wentz, wildly inaccurate, throwing the interception there. It was on brand for what we've seen from this Eagles team. And to me, you got to be scratching your head and saying, well, what was that with Jalen Hurts? You bring him in. He throws a short completion. You never hear from him again. And that speaks to the disarray. They have no idea how to use their second-round draft pick. This isn't some guy you picked up on waivers and you're like, well, he's an option, but we don't know how to use him. This is what you brought Jalen Hurts in for. So there's no even distinct path of how they're using Jalen Hurts at this point. Sure, I get it. Carson Wentz gives you the best opportunity. Then why do we see Jalen Hurts at all? To me, it just speaks to the indecision there, Shay. And then on top of that, the next three opponents for the Eagles, you ready for this? The Packers, the Saints, and the Cardinals. There ain't no get-right opportunities. They were going against the worst pass defense in the NFL yesterday. If there was going to be a get-right opportunity, it would have been there last night. And unfortunately, they did not take advantage, nor did Carson.
Okay, I have a few things to say. One, yes, the Eagles have a really tough road if they want to win the NFC East. However, if you look at the Giants schedule, the team I think that's going to win the NFC East.
Oh, come on. Just pick a team every week.
I'm sticking with the Giants. They also have a very tough road. It doesn't get easy really for anyone. In fact, the entire NFC East has Super Bowl caliber teams this upcoming week. Going back to what you said, I have like 3 different points here about Carson Wentz not establishing the run. You said it yourself. The Seahawks have the worst passing defense in the NFL.
True.
So I expected Carson Wentz to go out and try and get right against the worst passing defense in the NFL, try and throw the football, limit mistakes, maybe not get sacked as much, drop back to do that. It
45
just didn't
drop
work.
Backs.
He's inaccurate. He's not right. This isn't his year. Let's just call it what it is. The offensive line isn't right. They're laden with injuries, as you mentioned. This is who the Eagles are. Here's what I don't understand. In the NFL, in general, there is this notion that once you have a quarterback or once you have a position player, you can't go away from it. In the NBA,
now he's getting paid like Carson's getting paid.
Hold on. In the NBA, where they're getting paid a lot of money, you change starting lineups all the time. In Major League Baseball.
That's different.
Hold on. Let me finish. In Major League Baseball, where you change starting lineups all the time and they're getting paid a lot of money, you move leadoff hitters.
Different. Very different. You're talking about a franchise quarterback.
Hold on. Is this on a very different Eagles team than we have ever seen in years past? Are they doing everything wrong offensively? Yes. So here's what happens yesterday. You have, what, like negative 4 yards or something like that, and they bring in Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts goes 6 yards, and he's 1-for-1 on completions. I think he took 2 snaps, something in the ballpark there. And then you bring in Carson Wentz on the very next play, and they punt the ball. It's a mess. Why not? And I know how much money Carson Wentz is getting. The season's not over tomorrow.
Locked in for 109.
That's
guaranteed.
Fine. You're not telling Carson Wentz you're fired, okay? All you're saying is, hey, look, let's just try Jalen out for a game. Sit back, watch, observe. Try and figure out where the mistakes are coming from. Try and utilize your offensive weapons in a different
kind
of way.
Can I pause you there and throw your point back at you? What did you say the Seattle team boasted? The worst pass defense in the NFL.
Correct.
What's the biggest question mark with Jalen Hurts, though? As a passer. So aren't you going to then say...
I'm not on that
But hold on. Just play devil's advocate, and your favorite line is the devil doesn't need an advocate. I hear you. But isn't this the opportunity for Carson Wentz to get over the threshold? Going against the Seattle defense, which, by the way, sneakily the last 3 games has improved vastly. But it's the worst NFL pass defense. So then don't you say, this is the opportunity for Carson to get back and start to get right.
They started
and then our $109 million guaranteed quarterback can maybe turn a corner. Don't you then kind of have to ride him in this game? I just don't like the indecision to even flirt with Jalen Hurts because it speaks to what the week started with from Coach Peterson. As of today, on Wednesday, Carson Wentz is our starter. Then confusion mounts. Then there's disarray. Then it's a frenzied approach there in Philly. And it seemed like that carried into the game with the play calling. By throwing Jalen in there, he completes a pass, and you don't see him again. More disarray, more cloudiness.
Okay, sure. I didn't say you should have started Jalen Hurts. You let Carson go in there and try and get right against the Seahawks. Couldn't figure it out. Couldn't make completions. Had negative yardage. So you put Jalen Hurts in, and as you said, you flirt with him. Leave him in there. You can always go back. You
just
can
make a
always
decision.
Go back. The NFL has got this mentality that once you name a starting quarterback, and we all know the line, you got 2 quarterbacks, you ain't got none. But once you name a starting quarterback, there's no wiggle room. Why not? Especially in this case scenario. Leave Jalen, let him finish the half. If he doesn't do well, you can always go back. Or you can let him finish the game. Quite honestly, it would have resulted in an L anyways, probably, considering the way the offensive line is.
So then what does it tell you then for the Eagles? What does it say to you that they didn't go with Jalen Hurts? Is it that they want to continue to ride Carson Wentz for all the money they're paying him, and they saw this as an opportunity? Or is it that Jalen Hurts is just so bad off and they lack so little trust in him? Then that also speaks to me like, well, what were you doing in the second round drafting Jalen Hurts if you don't have confidence to put him in positions like this? When everything has gone wrong, he's your second round draft pick. Isn't this the opportunity to put him in? So to me, that becomes another question in its own right, Shea, is what's wrong with Jalen Hurts if you're still not ready to put him in the game
yet? I disagree with that. I think Jalen Hurts is in a new system. He's still learning. He hasn't gotten all the first-team reps because you have a starting quarterback in Carson Wentz, and you just don't have the faith in him to go out and win football games or put your team in the best situation to win football games like you do your $130 million quarterback who's been around this team, around these players, knows this scheme, knows Doug Peterson, that is, really well. I think there's just a little bit of hesitation with it. I don't think Jalen Hurts is going out and stinking up the bed during practice.
I'm going full notebook on you because I'm confused. What do you want? Tell me, Shay. What do you want?
I told you what I want. I wanted to see more Jalen Hurts yesterday. I don't abide by that rule of I think that once you pull a quarterback, you can never put him back in. Supposedly, if you have a great quarterback room and everyone's getting along and everyone's learning under one another, why can't you do this? You are not, Carson Wentz, putting your team in a great position to win. You're getting sacked at an extremely high clip. You're turning the ball over at a...
He still looked inaccurate.
You're inaccurate.
He missed some opportunities.
Let Jalen Hurts go in. And again, if it results in an L, it's the same scenario. So let him at least give it a try. If you want to go back to Carson Wentz in the next game, that's fine. If he's your quarterback next year, that's fine too.
Okay, let's also go positive because it is Giving Tuesday, and I do want to sprinkle some positivity into the conversation here. The Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
This is a team that kind of gives me some... Okay, Seahawks, I see what you're doing here a little bit. DK Metcalf goes for, 177 yards on 10 catches in this one. Going against Darius Slay, what was supposed to be an even matchup. You bring Slay into Philly for moments like this, and he lost massively. DK Metcalf is proven to be one of the brightest stars in this league, and that Seattle defense, which was the Achilles heel, is starting to trend upward. Couple that with Russell Wilson, who gets back to playing MVP-like football, the star that DK Metcalf is, along with those other weapons, the run game behind Chris Carson, and maybe as this team now on top of the NFC West becomes a team where you say, I like where they're going. I'm back on the Seattle Seahawks bandwagon.
I just want Russell Wilson to get an MVP vote. Just one. Can he just get one?
Let's see what he can do here down the stretch. Right now, I don't think it's going to
happen. Speaking of quarterbacks, there is a mess going on in Chicago. A mess in the quarterback room. And maybe our friend Mark Silverman, who's going to join us on Giving Tuesday. He is a great story, and he also has great insight on the Chicago Bears. We'll do all of that next. This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. ...100% of what you give on Giving Tuesday, if you go to v.org/donate, goes to cancer research. That is a big deal, and it's a big deal that we are filling in on the Dan Le Batard Show. Shea Cornett, Jordan Cornett here with you on Giving Tuesday. We got a lot of big picture things to talk about in terms of what Giving Tuesday means, but also some football to talk about because there's been a big football slate over the last couple of days, and it might continue this
and
week.
And it's a perfect guest to be talking to because he is the mouthpiece. He is the pulse, the heartbeat of Chicago there where he works for ESPN 1000. He's also a cancer survivor and a mentor to both of us and a very good friend still there in Chicago. Yeah. Go ahead and welcome in our guy.
Yeah, we're excited to be joined by Mark Silverman of ESPN 1000 Sylvie. In Chicago. We call him Sylvie. I don't know if you can see Jordan Sylvie, but he is rocking his Sylvie is Strong shirt. So we are happy to
Mason
be supporting
Mason designed
yeah.
shirt and all awesome. The proceeds going to the Jimmy V Foundation making things happen.
We love it. Sylvie, before we ask you about what this Giving Tuesday means to you, let's talk a little bit of football because yesterday I was perturbed listening to Matt Nagy's press conference for lack of a more angry term here. He was all fired up and basically saying that wasn't what he expected out of his defense. His defense. The Bears have won 7 games where their offense didn't put up 20 points. But let's blame the defense.
Take a deep breath, Bears fan.
He's telling me to chill. I'm all worked up over here. Please tell me what's going on in Chicago, Sylvie.
Well, I think it's desperation, Shane. It's great to talk to you, and I can see you. I've got you guys up on my TV, too. Jordan, you're looking great. And thank you for wearing the shirt and supporting the cause. But look, Matt Nagy has executed the desperation playbook perfectly so far this year, guys. Think about everything. In the offseason, he fires all of his assistant coaches and brings in new one, the offensive line coach. He brings in a new quarterbacks coach. Bill Lazor comes in, all of his guys. Then he brings in his guy in Nick Foles, okay? So they start the season off with Trubisky. They go 2-0. Trubisky struggles. Desperation time, he goes to Nick Foles. Nick Foles saves the day in that third game. He keeps the job, but now he has failed. So now, out of desperation, he fires himself as play caller and appoints Bill Lazor as the new play caller. Now, out of desperation, because of the injury, but also because of performance, he goes back to Mitch Trubisky. And then in the playbook now, when you've executed all of those moves, it is now time to yell at the team and to yell at the defense and to yell at the calling card of why you've won games in your first 2 years here with the Bears when you failed to score even 20 points per game. Now, the defense is not playing well. It's a nuanced conversation. Mm-hmm. But the point is, yes, this is a desperate coach who I think sees the writing on the wall, Shay. You covered this team very, very closely. And it's just amazing where we were 2 years ago with him and this team, how likable they were, and how 2 years later it's a 180.
No kidding.
Mark Silverman joins us now. Sylvie, as we look back to what was a paramount point in your life when you discovered this past April, mid-April, that you indeed had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Take me to that day, Tuesday, April 21st, where you get on the airwaves as the co-host of Waddle and Sylvie, a benchmark show there in Chicago. As you talked about the Bears, it made me smile because that man speaks for Chicago. So if you're curious what Chicago feels about the Bears, Sylvie just told you because he speaks for an entire city, and I watch how that entire city backed you. Going back to Tuesday, April 21st, when you shared with your listeners that you had this terrible disease, what was going through your mind in that moment? What were you feeling?
Well, let me rewind even a little bit further, Jordan. So that's when I went public with it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing started, you know, months before that when I just wasn't feeling well. I was more tired, and I went to a doctor and my internist, and I'm different than most guys. I'm very hands-on about my health. Every year I'm there like clockwork for my yearly physical, and I'm like, Doc, I don't feel well. He actually sent me down like the mental health route, which I'm very in touch with and I'm cool with, but I knew that that wasn't the case. I knew it was an anxiety. Something was going on that I just knew wasn't right. So all of a sudden we're into February and now into early March, and you know, COVID's going on, and we're trying to learn all about this, and my neck is swelling, and now my groin is starting to swell, my groin area. And I know these aren't lymph nodes, and I'm in Google hell. I'm Googling everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I go back to the same doctor, and the doctor ran a full panel of blood work, and the blood work checked out fine. So he sent me to a head and neck specialist to do a biopsy on my neck where my lymph node was swollen. And I thought I was going there originally on a Friday before I was going to host my show to confirm that it wasn't cancer, that my blood was fine. I thought I was fine. As soon as she took out the ultrasound and started looking at it, I was sitting in that chair on that Friday and thinking, okay, I'm going, I don't know what's wrong, but I think I'm okay and I'm dodging COVID. To knowing then at that moment the way she reacted that I've got cancer. And we needed to confirm it, and I needed to do 2 days later a CT scan. Eventually I had to have the lymph node taken out of my groin where they had to do the find out exactly what kind of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma I had. But it was then when the tears just, you know, they just start running down your face and you don't know. I have a kid who's 6 years old. I have a younger son who's four. I'm going through the beginning of the pandemic, and now all of a sudden I have cancer. And I didn't know what to think. I mean, I was thinking, are my kids going to have me? And a million things go through your mind, and none of them are good at that time.
No, I can only imagine. Mark Silverman joining us now on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average days. Also, Giving Tuesday. If you're able, we hope you'll choose to join us today on Giving Tuesdays to support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Just go to v.org/donate. Give what you can. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, Sylvie, you mentioned this, but you're different in the fact that you're kind of going through these treatments and battling cancer during COVID, during a time when not a lot of people are trying to be around hospitals or doctors. What was that like for you?
Well, and this is the message, and I think it's so important for everyone, Shay, to understand this. That, and I think we understand it more now, but in the beginning of the pandemic, when we were told that our hospitals are going to be overrun, our frontline workers are going to get sick, I didn't know as a cancer patient early on, are the doctors going to be there for me?
Right.
Am I going to be able to get CT scans? Am I going to be able to go see the best cancer specialist, or is it all hands on deck? So, I mean, it's just a reminder to salute every single person who works at these hospitals, who work at these healthcare centers, whether they're on the front lines treating COVID, whether it's like my doctor, Dr. Dean Saris at Northwestern Memorial, Lake Forest Hospital, whether it's just, you know, a person who makes their living at a hospital, doing whatever they're doing, keeping it clean, making it possible for me to sit in a waiting room so I can see a doctor. And it was like, and just to fast forward, when you get in and when you see the doctors, it is then when you figure out what the V Foundation has been able to do. It is then when you realize you don't know how you're going to be able to be taken care of. And you understand that the treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma today is way better than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I've been talking about the V Foundation on my show for 21 years now. And it is vital. It is so important to understand that I benefited from all those years of raising money for the V Foundation. And you could benefit down the road just like I did. And one day we won't have to talk about this because the V Foundation will be victorious. And until that time, we have to continue to raise funds so we get the research and we can continue to beat it. And there are more successful stories like mine.
And I just have to also add, on October 2nd, to come full circle, our friend, my mentor, one of them said, and Sylvie tweeted, I also want to thank all of you, tweeting out to his followers and fans, and there's a lot of them, that during the weirdest, craziest, hardest, and most humbling spring and summer of my life, Sylvie talking about his own, at the end of today's show, I announced that I am in full and complete remission. So to hear my friend, our friend, Mark Silverman talk about this, to see his fight and to see a city rally behind their guy and a country, most especially the city of Chicago, speaks to the two-plus decades of work in radio and TV that you've done there in Chicago. And, man, I can speak for a lot of Chicagoans when we say we love you, and with a great smile, we can say that you are on the road to recovery and full health by the love of Allie, your lovely wife, and your sons, Mason and Braxton. And Mason is going to make you a lot of money as an artist, given these shirts right
here. He's good. You should see some of the Star Wars figures that he's drawing these days. But, Jordan, just like you and Shane, you supported me. You're wearing the shirt now. Shout out to all the listeners. You know, on this Giving Tuesday, when we wonder and hey, is humanity like it used to be? Do we love people like we used to in this hostile environment these days? There are still great people out there. There are still people willing to give. With the V Foundation, we raised over $44,000 to the V Foundation for cancer research, selling those shirts, just the design that my son ended up making. And it was just a city coming together. And, you know, in a really rough time for everyone, I can't thank everyone enough for having my back and having the V Foundation's back as well.
Well, Sylvie, we love that you always have our back as well. So thank you for joining us on this Giving Tuesday. Again, it is v.org/donate. If you can and you're able, we would, of course, appreciate it. Sylvie appreciates it. We all appreciate it. v.org/donate. Sylvie, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for the time.
Keep up the great work. Love you guys. See ya.
Love you. See ya. Welcome back into the Dan Le Batard Show. Shea Cornett and Jordan Cornett filling in for Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts. We're happy to have you with us on this Giving Tuesday. It's a really important day in terms of what it means for cancer research and cancer survivors and those going through a fight. It's v.org/donate. If you are able and you are willing, we understand this is a hard, challenging year, but cancer doesn't slow down for anyone.
Unfortunately, it does not. So all you can do, if it's nothing at all, understood. If it's a little bit, it goes a long way. And if it's a lot, we will take all of it.
Yeah, that is true.
It goes a long way.
Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tune in tonight for the College Basketball Champions Classic. Number 8 Michigan State takes on number 6 Duke, and number 20 Kentucky battles number 7 Kansas. Tip-off is at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Today, as we mentioned, also Giving Tuesday. If you're able, we'll hope you join us in the fight on Giving Tuesday to support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Go to v.org/donate. Give what you can. We are very excited to welcome in our next guest. He is a dear, dear friend of ours, Digger Phelps, joining us now.
Two-time cancer survivor,
former Notre Dame basketball coach. Digger, hello, coach. How are you? Good morning to you.
Well, I know we're on the subject of cancer and giving, but I just want you both to know that I was giving this morning at the Grotto, and I lit your candle for Shay and the baby so that the Jordan family, in time, every week I'm at that Grotto on Tuesdays, lighting that candle until the baby is born, and we move forward as a family. So it's done, Shay, another week, and that's giving the love and hope for all of us to know what this family is going to be so sweet and so proud.
That's why we love Digger Phelps. We talk to him every single Tuesday. He is a dear friend of ours.
Every Tuesday he calls FaceTime.
Every Tuesday, and we look forward to those phone calls every single week. All right, Coach, so today is Giving Tuesday, as you mentioned, a two-time cancer survivor. You've been through a lot in your lifetime. If you could just shed a little bit of light of maybe take us back to when you first realized you did have cancer and how you dealt with that and how you found out you had it, so people know what they're looking for here.
Well, I grew up as an undertaker's son. That's how I got the nickname Digger for Gravedigger. And knowing the business, and the funeral home was in the middle of the next block and through the backyard, that's where our house was, and my dad was breaking into that business, and I got sidetracked by I went to Rider College in Trenton, New Jersey, and got a degree in business. I supposed to go to bombing school at Syracuse. And next thing you know, I end up coaching, and that's whatever happens, happens. But when I turned 60 and being an undertaker's son, I said, you know, I get a physical once a year. Usually I go in October and get a physical for a year. Blood work, you know, anything else, PSA for to check the prostate and all that. So then I decided at the age of 60, why don't I go twice a year? Because if I go in October and I wait till next October, but something kicks in April, I've got an issue. Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, I had my physical in October. I went that next April, and this is going back to 2010, and I found out I had prostate cancer. And I went out to the Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle and the University of Washington, and Dr. Ellis and Dr. Jason Wright, those were the two guys, and they did the Da Vinci robot surgery, which was new and young and really not that invasive. And they took out my prostate. What I also found out, what people didn't know, while I was out there, I learned that every organ in our body has four layers of protection. And if it gets through that fourth layer, you got an issue. When they took out my prostate, I found out that my prostate cancer tumor was in the third layer. If I waited 6 months to that October, it would, the next October, it would have gone through the prostate into other lymph nodes and spread cancer throughout my body. So knowing that, and the only organ is our pancreas that doesn't have those four layers of protection. That was the first wake up for me. 3 years later, with blood in my urine, I found out I had bladder cancer. And what's ironic for bladder cancer, they go in and they scrape them out, but then they put into you a tuberculosis vaccine for like a 6 week treatment. And that kills the future of having scab tumors come in that bladder, so to speak. So with that happening, and it's been 7 years, when I went this past fall, or no, a month ago, actually, for my spring checkup with my doctor, he said, hey, you're fine. We'll just do urine tests from now on. After 7 years, you're free. But what I'm trying to say to people is early detection is the key. Mm-hmm. And if you are brave enough and just have the will to win, just go for early protection. And men and women can get bladder cancer. And men who fool around with prostate cancer, hey, get it out. Once you're older and you're 50, 60, you don't need it anymore, get rid of it. And that's what I did. So from that standpoint, and the other sidebar is, I went to Ryder College in Trenton, New Jersey. My roommate was Jimmy. No, you got it. His brother, Val Vano. Mm-hmm. Jimmy was still in high school, and Bobby was like a young kid. But we all became family, and the mom, Ann, she come down every weekend with Rocky, the father, to Ryder from Long Island and bring those Italian meatballs. You know, being Irish, I'm not big on corned beef and cabbage, but I can eat those Italian meatballs. But we really became close. And what was sad when we found out that Jimmy got that back in about, it was the spring of 92. I was working in the White House for President Bush. As soon as I found out, I'm calling up. I said, Jimmy, get 10,000 cash, take your wife to Paris for the weekend and celebrate. And we just laughed about it. Well, little did we know that, you know, that following spring, it was going to be over. And it was just a sad situation and how he died. But the Jimmy V Foundation, you know, and Dick Vitale, what he does is immense in how he raises money for the V Foundation cancer research. It's still there. And it's one of the things that I look at and just say, you know, we have still got to take care of what the issues are today with healthcare. And yeah, right now the virus is the biggest thing, killing many, many thousands around the world, and many are getting infected. But more importantly, it's the sidebars, like the cancer research, and what we got to do to take this over and get rid of it. And it was also interesting, a few years back, they started taking brain tumors to Duke, if you had a small brain tumor. And they're putting in another type of vaccine in there. It wasn't tuberculosis, it was something else, to kill those tumors so that they would shrink. So the research is still going on, but more importantly, don't think and don't be shy and don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, no, it's not going to happen to me. Oh, really? It happened to me twice, and I'm grateful for what I did with early detection to become where I am today, cancer-free.
And, Coach, it was paramount to us. It was essential that we had you on the show because of what you mean to us, because of the inspiration you've been and the way you fought this disease, but also how you've been there in times of peril for us, to stand there alongside us. When I lost my brother in 2016 to a heart attack, which is heart disease, is another very serious thing, the first person to call me and give me advice on how to be for my family and provide strength was Coach Digger Phelps, the icon. He is college basketball. He is Notre Dame basketball. Coach, we so appreciate you taking the time today to join us. Me and my wife, Shay, love you immensely, and it's so, so enjoyable for us to see you thrive and have a mentor to lean on from time to time when I can call you for advice. We thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. It was nice talking to you today. You have a good one, and give Linda our best.
Yes.
We will, and you're two special people, and we can't wait till I see that baby next spring.
Thank you, Coach. We'll talk to you soon. I'm sure we'll talk to you in a week or so.
Absolutely.
If you're able, as we keep saying, we hope that you'll choose to join us today on Giving Tuesday to support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You just got to go to v.org/donate. Again, it's v.org/donate. Give what you can. You know, COVID is not slowing down cancer research or anyone that is dealing with this awful disease. So if you are evil, even a dollar goes a really long way. After the break, we got to get into what happened last night in Monday Night Football. Also, the Ravens and the Steelers are still going to play on Wednesday. We're not sure how, but I think they're still going to play. That's next. This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. 100% of what you give. That is the key line there. This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Shea Cornett, Jordan Cornett filling in today, and we are happy to be doing so on Giving Tuesday. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. As we mentioned, it is Giving Tuesday. If you're able, we hope you'll choose to join us today on Giving Tuesday to support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. All you got to do is go to v.org/donate. That's v.org/donate. Give what you can. We understand these are trying times for everyone in the world, and that includes the National Football League. The coronavirus has hit the Ravens pretty badly, and so they were supposed to play on Thursday against the Steelers on Thanksgiving Day. The game was postponed to Sunday. Then the game was postponed to Tuesday. Now they are slated to play tomorrow, and it is going to be an afternoon game on Wednesday due to scheduling issues on NBC. So there's going to be an afternoon game tomorrow between the Steelers and the Ravens. Here's the latest that I'm seeing, according to NFL insiders. The Ravens are slated to fly to Pittsburgh tonight, but running backs J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram aren't allowed on the team plane because they're still in COVID protocols. We know how this kind of goes. So the expectation is because they are able to play, but they can't be around the team today yet, they're going to fly on game day because they're eligible to play, but not until tomorrow, until game day. So at least they do get some of their offensive weapons back, their offensive starters back, but it's just going to be on very, very short notice without any practice. Dobbins and Ingram had their initial positive test back on November 22nd. So under the NFLPA protocols, there is a mandatory 10-day isolation period. So today is day 10. They could not have played last Thursday, Sunday, today at all, but they are eligible to play tomorrow. If all goes according to plan, that is, if all the Ravens as of today and tomorrow test negative, the game will go on.
And what kind of game will that be? And I think that's the unfortunate circumstance here. A reality that every player that agreed to play this season knew that there was going to be some wrenches, so to speak, thrown into this season. They'd hit some crossroads where they'd have to take a path that is not a very desirable one. And this is that moment. I mean, Week 18 was a possibility. It's been removed. I'm sure the Steelers would prefer to be at least in an ideal situation. This the most ideal of two less than ideal options. They don't want to be playing the Ravens in Week 18 going into the playoffs. So you're tasked with playing a game where the Ravens are going to field a team that looks anything but the 6-win team that they are this season, without Lamar Jackson, without their running backs, without the majority of their tight ends, an offensive line that's already ravaged with injury, people out on the defense. The Steelers are going to thrive in this game. They're going to feast on a lesser team. It's going to be a bad product on the field. But the players, and this is of significance, are going to get their game check. And that is a big part of this thing here, is that if there's no game, they don't get paid. So there's an equal desire to play. But the reason we got to Wednesday is because there were Ravens saying, I don't feel comfortable with going out there and playing on Tuesday.
Which is fair.
With the way this thing is trending. And I don't know how satiated their issues with this are at this point, to be quite honest. But we're moving forward. We're playing this game on Wednesday. And all you can say is wow.
Yeah, wow is right. And I know there's a lot of people that's kind of comparing what's going on in Denver and what we saw this weekend with the quarterbacks in Denver to the Ravens situation. Two completely different situations. Denver was isolated. It was just a quarterback room. With the Ravens, it's the entire team, both sides of the ball, the coaching staff, all of the above. So hopefully we'll see some football tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be quality football, but we don't really know what we're going
to
get.
And what we can say for certain that we really know is it's an honor to be a part of this show today on Giving Tuesday. It was an honor to sit in for Dan Le Batard and the crew who does magnificent work here. We are immense fans of them, and we are immense fans of humanity. And knowing humanity can come together, do the right thing here on Giving Tuesday, support the Jimmy V Foundation. You can give by going to v.org/donate. Let's do this. Let's all come together. In this world, this is something we are all fighting together. Let's go all in, provide the dollars to provide the research, and go out there and save some lives. Babe, it's been an honor to do this show with you
today. It has. v.org/donate. We were happy to be here today. Everyone have a good Giving Tuesday. We'll see you next time.